Let us pray as we approach God's throne. Almighty Father in heaven, indeed this morning we ask you to fix our minds on you, on your glory. Take our hearts, Lord, up from this war-torn, messed-up world that we live in, and show us our future. And may it affect our present, Lord, how we live today. Speak to us, for your children are listening. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Butterflies in your stomach. Have you ever had those before? Maybe not literally like this. But do you know that feeling? That excitement, the nervousness, that anticipation, that giddy feeling just kind of all over your body. That's how I would feel years ago on Friday night. Friday night would come and that feeling would always come over me. And so you ask, why, Pastor? Why did you have these butterflies in your stomach on Friday night? Well, it's not because work was finally over. It wasn't because the weekend had finally arrived. No. I had butterflies in my tummy because someone was coming. Someone was coming to my place, and I had been waiting for the arrival. So I'm there and my heart's just beating away and I'm anticipating that knock coming on the door. Who was I waiting for, now you're wondering? Who was this special person? Someone that I longed to see. Someone that I wanted to spend time with. Someone special. That person was my sweetheart, Jeanette. Aw, come on. There we go. I bet Jeanette was thinking during this whole introduction, if he's not talking about Jesus or me, we're going to have a talk when we get home. But no, I was waiting for Jeanette because when we were dating years ago, we lived 90 minutes apart. That's a long ways to distance to have between you. So the weeks were long when we were separated. You see, this was before email. Teenagers, this was before we had Facebook. We couldn't check our statuses. We couldn't send messages back then. We didn't even have cell phones. And I know some of you are thinking, the horror. We had to call and pay for long distance if we wanted to talk to each other. Some of you are thinking, how did you survive? It was rough times back then, folks, rough times. But Friday would come, and I'm telling you then, the feeling that everything's going to be all right. All the problems of the week slipped away because I was going to see the one that I loved. This world has problems, doesn't it? Anybody out there going through rough times? Let me hear an amen. Amen. That's a long amen that comes on that one. Rough times, we're all going through them. Scripture says that tough times are going to come. We get that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. And even more than that, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it says, as rough as you think it is right now, it's going to get worse. Oh, yeah, only one amen on that one. It's going to get worse. So what do we do? How do we survive? How do we keep going? How do we make it through the worst days? Through the dark days that come. Marriage on the rocks. Economy falling. Health failing. Body aching. Heart breaking. Friends leaving. Depression reigning. Times that we live in right now. How do we live through it? Well, we remember that the one we love is coming soon. Soon we are going to see the one we love, and that can make all the difference in the world. One day Jesus Christ is coming back to this world, and that can help us get through even the worst of times. And of course, remembering his promise that he said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. But when you're going through the midst of it, when you're going through the fire, you remember that I am coming soon. No matter how dark the night may seem, we are just around the corner to the light of day. Can you say amen? We have to remember that this, all of this, is not going to last. We must know that the one we love is soon coming. The second coming of Jesus is a prime theme in the Bible. It's everywhere you look, mentioned all over in the Bible. So, this morning we're going to tackle two questions and try to answer them today, and a lot of questions in the midst of them, but those two questions are, what will it be like when Jesus returns, and how should we react to his soon return, to his soon coming? What will it be like? We have a lot of students here with us today, right? Raise your hand if you're still a student right now. A lot of students. You have tests this week? A lot of tests, papers, all that stuff. So how about, I figured since we've got so many students here, that we would have a second coming quiz this morning. What do you think? Some of you are doing it all week. Oh, not on Sabbath. Well, this will be a fun quiz, all right? A little quiz today at church, second coming quiz. Let's see if you can get them all correct. I mean, after all, we should know about the second coming. So I'm even going to have motivation for you today. So you can write down your answers, make sure that your neighbor isn't cheating at the end of this all. Write down your answers. Let's see if we can get them correct. If you get all the answers right today, we have a surprise for you right here today at Piedmont. If you get every answer correct, we have waiting for you, wait for it, front row seats. We have a seat upgrade for you today if you get them all right. I have purposely left these first two rows open so that just like when you go to the ball game and they pick up a ticket and this person gets a, some of you way back there, you poor folks up there in the balcony, you'd be able to come right down here if you get them all right. See, it's got some people excited already. If you got to get them all right, though, you can't just get one or two. Pretty awesome, huh? You didn't realize. Now, if you get them wrong, if you happen to get one wrong, we're playing for high stakes today here at Piedmont Park. If you get them wrong, well, I'm afraid we're going to have to go with double tithe today. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We couldn't do that. We can't do that. That would be wrong to do that. We can't pay double tithe. No, but I think double church budget will work just fine, actually. I saw the bulletin there, so. No, again, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But let's see how you do. Let's see how you do. We're going to ask some questions today. First question, when Jesus comes, it will be one of these two answers. I'm going to give you the answer. You just have to pick which one. When Jesus comes, it will be visible or invisible when he comes. I got a lot of visibles there, okay. But there are some people, there are a lot of Christians who feel like when Jesus comes, no one's going to see him. No one's going to see him. Just all of a sudden, people will just pop, disappear. You're driving along in your car, and all of a sudden, the person who was driving just disappears, and you're like, grabbing the wheel. What's going on? Let's see what God's word says, amen? Let's make sure you got the right answers. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 9, trying to figure out what's it going to be like when Jesus comes. Acts chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 9. To figure out what it's going to be like when he comes, we got to figure out what it was like when he left. So Acts chapter 1, verse 9, we pick up this story, right, as Jesus is getting to leave our world. In verse 9 it says, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up." Remember that phrase there, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." When Jesus comes, the Bible says he's going to come in the same manner that he left. Did he disappear when he left? Did he just disappear? No. Did they see him leave? Yes, he was there with them, talking to him, and all of a sudden he just went, whoosh. I don't know if he made that sound, but I know he went up, and they saw him leave. The angel said, "You saw him leave, you're going to see him come again." Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says, "Every eye will see Jesus." How many eyes? Every eye is going to see him when he comes. So our first answer this morning is that when Jesus comes, it is going to be visible when he comes. What else is it going to be like? Our next question. When Jesus comes, will it be loud or quiet? It's going to be loud? Are you sure? when Jesus comes, there are a lot of people, I've talked to Christians who believe when he comes, it's going to be secretive, quiet. Many people believe that. You want to see where they get it from? Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In the backs of your Bible, you'll find 1 and 2 Thessalonians right after Colossians. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's see. Is it going to be loud when he comes, or real quiet? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. This is Paul writing here. The whole theme of this section is the second coming. And in verse 2 he says, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as what? A thief in the night." Well, that certainly sounds quiet to me. I mean, when a thief comes to your house, he doesn't have cymbals banging them as he's entering through the window. So it sounds quiet. Secretive. Uh-oh. Are we confused a little bit now? It sounds like when he comes, it's quiet. But what do you do if you read something in the Bible that kind of confuses you? What should you do? Well, number one, pray. And then number two, read everything around it. So put your finger there at verse 2. And I want you to just move your finger up the page to chapter 4, verse 16. Now, when Paul was writing, he didn't write chapter 4, 1. Those were added years later. It was just writing along. So if we go back to verse 16, let's read this verse. And it says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God." Does that sound quiet? No, it doesn't sound quiet at all. Loud command, trumpet of God, voice of the archangel? I mean, let's think about a trumpet just for a little bit of time. When I was in high school, I played trumpet. Is trumpet a quiet instrument or a loud instrument? Loud. I mean, even when you play it quietly, if you have a flute player playing as loud as they can and a trumpet player playing soft, you can hear the trumpet. And the flute player's head's about to blow off because they can't keep up with the trumpet player. I loved playing trumpet when I was in high school, primarily for a couple reasons. One, the trumpets always had the melody, which I thought was cool. And two, the trumpet players in my school always got to sit in the back, which I was always fond of. So we got to sit in the back of the room. The other thing I loved about being a trumpet player was sitting in the back meant that the other people had to be in front of you, and the clarinet players always sat in front of the trumpet players in my school. And the clarinet players, I don't know about your school, but in my school, all the clarinet players just happened to be female. And so in the back of the band, I would have my trumpet, and I would take the bell of my trumpet, and I would point it at the girls in front of me. Particularly the girl that I liked the most at the time. And I would play my trumpet. And I would play it loud. I mean, I wasn't satisfied until she turned around and said, "Michael, stop it." And I went, "What? I'm just playing my trumpet." I was ornery back then, but not anymore. Sad to say that I deafened a few girls in my trumpet playing years in high school. But that was the trumpet of Michael that played. Imagine what it's going to be like when the trumpet of God blows on this planet. Folks, I got to tell you, it is going to rock and roll this planet like never before. It's going to roll open the tombs and it's going to wake the dead. It doesn't sound quiet to me, does it? When Jesus comes, it is going to be loud. But what do we do about this other verse here? We got this verse that says, "Thief in the night." How do we make those equate? It's just a few verses apart. Well, we're going to try to figure that out. Remember, we've got to read around these confusing verses. So when Jesus comes again, our next question is it going to be expected or is it going to be surprising? This one gets a little harder. Is it going to be expected or surprising? Well, let's go back to chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. Read verse 2 again, then I'm going to keep going. "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." Now, some people say when Jesus comes like a thief in the night, people disappear and everyone else is wondering, "What happened? I don't get it." Now, ladies, help me out here. When the labor pains start, do you know what's happening? Most times you have a pretty good clue. I mean, when they're really kicking in and it's time, this is it. And that's how Paul describes it. When it's happening, we're going to know it's happening. But now, here's the big question. Who does it come like a thief in the night to? Who does it come surprisingly to? Look at verse 4. Paul says, "But you, brothers and sisters, you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief." So this one's actually a trick question. Is it expected or surprising? It's both. It's surprising to those who aren't ready, to those who are in the dark, Paul says. Comes like a thief to them. They're not ready for it. But for some who are in the light, Paul says, you will be ready and you will know it's coming. It will not surprise you. It won't come like a thief to you. And this is what Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 24, if you want to turn back there. Will it be surprising or expected? Jesus says, Matthew 24, verse 33, he's talking about the fig tree. And he says, you look at the fig tree, you can tell what time of season it is. Verse 33 of Matthew 24, he says, so also when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Jesus says, it's not going to be a surprise to you if your eyes are open, if you're awake. So the answer here, is it expected or surprising? It's both. He says, look around. Now, I feel it's important to mention that someone said that the second coming was going to happen yesterday, October 21, and here we all are. You missed it. No, you didn't miss it. We're still waiting for it. Amen? That's verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows. No human being knows when that day is. So no date setting. Can you say amen? I wish we'd learned that. I wish folks would learn that. No human being knows the exact time, but we can know when it's close. Now, why doesn't Jesus tell us? You ever thought, why didn't he tell us? Give us a little calendar that said, bing, 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 this is the day. Well, I'll tell you why. A lot of you are students here, right? And they're in class. Some of you on that first day of class, you get those big term paper assignments, right? Some of you still got it. It's coming, right? Right, on that first day when you're in, you get the syllabus, and 3 months from now, you get the big 15-page term paper. How many of you get home that night and say, oh man, I got to get some books and start reading? How many of you do that? Raise your hand real tall and proud. All right, look around, everybody. No hands. All right. How many of you are waiting until the week of the term paper, and you're like, oh, I got to get some books, and I got to start reading? How many are that the week of? Still no hands, like two hands in the back, and I think they're in grade school, so... Most of us, if we got this big term paper, we've been told we got 3 months to do it. It's the night before. What are we doing? Typing with great inspiration. Because the Lord knows that deep inside all of us is this thing called procrastination. Out of all the colleges we have in this world, none of them ever teach procrastination 101. Because you don't have to. All of us would get A's. Actually, it would never happen. We'd always postpone it till tomorrow. Jesus knows that we would wait, and some of us would think, all right, well, I'm just going to live how I want to live until right before he comes, and then I'm going to switch gears. And Jesus knows if you try to switch gears at the end, you'll never be able to turn. He says, if you hear my voice calling you, today is the day. Do not wait. Jesus' return will be expected by some in the light and surprising to those who are not ready. Next question, when Jesus comes, will it be decisive or will there be more chances to be saved? Decisive or more chances to be saved? Some people believe, a lot of Christians believe today, that if you miss the first chance to go to heaven, you can just catch the next bus. 7 years later, you can get on the next bus to heaven. They say, yeah, you're going to have to go through 7 years. They're going to be awful times. But if you miss the first chance, there's another one waiting. Again, I think that's a very dangerous theology right there, because inside of all of us is that desire to wait. And people think, well, I'll just wait for people to disappear, and then I'll get straight with God. And some people will wait themselves right out of heaven. Let's see what the Bible says, though. This idea, where do they get this idea that some people are going to disappear and others are going to have to wait, left wondering what happened? Major verse on this is Luke chapter 17, so let's look at it. Will there be two chances to be saved when Jesus comes? Luke chapter 17. I'm going to start in verse 34. I'm going to read 34 to 36. Verse 34. I tell you, in that night there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding together. One will be taken, the other left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. This is, have you heard of this before? The left behind. Some are taken, this is the idea. Some are taken, snatched up into heaven. Remember, Jesus was taken up? They saw him go, though. At the end, people are going to be taken up. And some are left. And people say, oh, they're left around for another year, wondering, what happened? What's it going to be like? Well, let's look and see. Remember, if you read something in the Bible, you're confused, and some of you are scratching your heads right now. What do? Read everything around it. So we're going to go back to verse 26 and get the context. The same chapter, Luke 17, verse 26. Jesus says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. So what were they doing in Noah's day? They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and did what? Destroyed them all. In Noah's day, the saved were taken to safety, and those who were left what? It's not pleasant. They were left dead. There was no second chance in Noah's day. Jesus continues on in verse 28. He says, likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and did what? Destroyed them all. Lot and his family, the angels came and they were taken to safety. Those who were left dead. Verse 30, Jesus says, even so, it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Jesus says, just like it was in Lot's day, just like it was in Noah's day, it will be the same at my return. It will be decisive. The saved are saved and the lost are lost when Jesus comes. Revelation 22, verse 12, Jesus says, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. So he's already decided when he comes. 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's look at this one. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it will be decisive when Jesus comes. When Jesus comes, he says, I'm separating the sheep from the goats. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul, writing to Timothy, says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his coming. When Jesus comes, there's no more second chances. But I tell you what, the devil really wants us to believe that if you miss the first bus, there's another bus coming. Because he knows a lot of us love to wait. To write that term paper. When Jesus comes, it will be decisive. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says it'll be a loud command. It'll be the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Those who have died believing in Jesus will be resurrected at the second coming. And then those who are alive when he comes will be changed. Boom, like that. There's the twinkling of an eye. And if you're wearing glasses today, you'll get to throw those glasses away. If you came into this room with a cane today, you'll get to throw that cane away. Amen. If you've got aches and pains, they will be gone on that day. Brand new bodies on that day. Think about it, friends. It's going to be the greatest family reunion ever on that day. I don't know about you, but there's some family. There's some friends that I can't wait to see. On that day. On that day when Jesus comes, there will be no disappearing act. The righteous will be gathered by the angels and we will go up. And the wicked aren't left wandering around and wondering what happened. They're destroyed by the brightness of his coming. And that Jesus couldn't be more clear if you turn back to Luke 17 now. Luke 17, verse 37. After he gets through this section of saying, some are taken, others are left, some are taken, others are left. The disciples say, well, where? Where are they left, Lord? And he's as clear as he can be in verse 37. And they answered and said to him, where, Lord? So he said to them, wherever the body is, there the eagles, or your Bible might say the vultures, will be gathered together. Where do the vultures hang out, folks? where the dead are. It will be decisive when Jesus comes. So, folks, we covered what the second coming will be like. Now, the next question. When Jesus comes, I will be, what do you got? Happy or scared? Singing or screaming? Ready or wanting more time? You ever wondered how you will react? If we're one of the ones, the fortunate generation, to be there when Jesus comes, and I think it's coming soon, friends, what will you do when you see Jesus? I hope our reaction will be something like these girls who are going to see their dad who just got home from a war. I want it to be something like that. When Jesus comes, I hope I react to him coming the same way Johanna reacts to daddy coming home. Because it doesn't matter what she's doing, what she's playing, what she's watching. When daddy comes home, from the other side of the house, I hear, Daddy! And she just comes running as fast as she can, jumps in my arms. She doesn't even have to have clothes on if she was in the middle of a bath. Man, she's running through the house. What are you doing? No clothes. So excited to see Dad. What's it going to be like when we see Jesus? We will have clothes on, just so you know. Clarify that. What's it going to be like? Turn to Isaiah 25. When Jesus comes, there's going to be two reactions. When Jesus comes, Isaiah 25, verse 9 is one of them. Isaiah 25, verse 9 says, "And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We've waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Some people look up and they say, "That's my Jesus, and he's coming to get me." But that's not the only reaction that day. In Revelation 6, verse 16, there are some who look up and they see Jesus. They see the face of the Lamb, and they cry to the rocks, they cry to the mountains, and they say, "Fall upon us and hide us from him who sits on the throne and from the face of the Lamb." There's only one Jesus who comes when he comes. But there are two way different reactions when he gets here. Drastically different. Why is that? The answer is simple, friends. How we react to Jesus today will determine how we react on that day. If we have not let Jesus come into our lives today, friends, Jesus came the first time to save. The next time, he's coming to rule. Amen? He's coming as king next time. If we have not let him rule in our lives today, if we've not been willing to follow him as our king today, why would we ever be excited to see him come as king on that day? I like this. The king is coming. Every eye will see. Jesus is coming. Every ear will hear. The Son of Man returns. How glad will we be? Rejoicing to see the Lamb or wanting to disappear? The King is coming. No more tomorrows to wait. Jesus is coming. If we know him, we have nothing to fear. The Son of God returns to reward those who love and destroy those who hate. Listen, look, be ready. Jesus coming is almost here. Now, some of you may be wondering, after Jesus comes, we all go back to heaven. Is that the end of the story? Is that the happily ever after? Well, come back next week and we'll do part two. After Jesus comes, we'll ask the question, is God fair? So come back next week. Stay tuned. When Jeanette and I were dating, and I knew she was coming to my place, I lived differently that day. Nothing got me down. I could have a bad day on the radio, didn't care. It could be rainy and gloomy outside, but in my mind, it was all sunshine and smiles. I lived differently on that day, knowing that she was coming. I cleaned up the apartment that day. Yeah. Got everything ready. I mean, I was cleaning stuff that never got cleaned. You go and you find the soap bar, and you clean the soap bar even. Want everything to be clean that day. Wanted to be ready for her arrival. I didn't know exactly when she would open the door. There was no texting back then. But I knew it was near. And I didn't clean my apartment because I was afraid that she'd leave if she saw a mess. It's not why I cleaned. I just wanted to do my best for her because I love her. My cleaning wasn't motivated from fear, but from love. I wanted to be ready when the one I love knocked on the door. Are we ready for Jesus to come? Are we clean or still a mess? Are you trying to get clean on your own? Are you trying to get clean out of fear or out of love? Every illustration is a three-legged chair, and it'll fall over if you push too hard. And this illustration falls also, in that the only way that we can be clean for when Jesus comes is to allow Him to do the cleaning. Amen? Amen. And friends, we don't clean ourselves, and we don't clean others. We just bring Him in, and He does the cleaning. It's not about frantically trying to clean ourselves to get ready for that day. We have to allow Him to come inside and do the cleaning. And we got to let Him clean everything. Don't hold Him back. Just open the door and let Him in. The footsteps are approaching. The doorbell is about to ring. And by His grace and His power, let's be ready. Amen? But folks, I don't want to just be ready. I don't want to just be ready for that day. I want, by His grace and His power, to help others be ready too. I'm planning on going to heaven when Jesus comes, but I don't plan on going alone. We've got work to do. We've got people to tell that the King is coming. Let's all be ready. Today, if you're determined to be ready for that day, today, if you're determined to help others be ready, I'd like to invite you to stand with me. Take a stand for the Lord. Our loving Lord Jesus, indeed, one day that trumpet will sound, announcing your arrival, announcing your return. But until that day comes when you blow the trumpet, Lord, it falls to us today to sound the trumpet, to let others know that there's a God in heaven who loves them, that there's a God in heaven who can help them, that there's a Jesus who can clean them. So Lord, as we leave this place, may we sound that trumpet in our lives to all those we meet that Jesus is coming again. And all those who are ready and ready to help others be ready said, Amen. God bless you. Have a happy Sabbath.